someone find Melissa? Where's Dolly?
I'm right here.
Can someone get John from the dressing room?
Welcome to Pottercast, your number one source for news, theories, discussion, and interviews with people from the Potter books and films. I know a small amount myself, having written the books. My name is J.K. Rowling. I am now happy to introduce your hosts, Melissa, John, and Sue.
And Frank.
Welcome to Pottercast 162. We're back in our studio. Back on the road.
It's so funny that, like, we're back in our own respective houses, and this feels normal than it did being all in the same room.
Yeah. Aww. This doesn't feel normal yet.
It doesn't, not to
it's
me
not,
either.
It's not as fun, though, because I can't make a joke on Sue and then, like, give her a hug right after. Yeah. So that sucks. No.
Meanie.
Well, welcome to Pottercast 162. This is kind of a sideways episode. We have a little bit of standard Pottercast chat for you, and then we're going to go right to our show from New York, which was on July 31st.
Yay!
Jesus. Manhattan. 14 days ago. Work it.
14 days ago.
Hey, man, it's almost 13 and a half weeks. Not quite, but okay. Never mind.
Right. But that was a fun show, and we did have stuff from the Mudbloods and stuff from the Alex Quinta Band, the Famous Lupins, and the Whopping Willows, and yeah, so before we get into that, let us do a little reminder of who we love around here.
Yes, we love
them.
Oh,
we love
lots
of people.
Who is that, John?
We love our friends at Audible.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of spoken word entertainment. Get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Log on to audiblepodcast.com/pottercast today for details.
We're back to recovery mode about the big shock we're about to have.
Oh my gosh, there was an earthquake in California.
Yeah, I know. The whole fandom is reeling, John.
This is wild. They even felt it in England.
Did they?
They did. They did indeed. Australia even a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. The big and important and only news of the week, right, is yes. It takes up all five spots.
Yes, it does. All five.
This is top news.
There is no... go ahead, Melly. Say it. Do it.
Okay. Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince will now debut on July 17th, 2009.
Yay!
No. Boo!
We're not happy about this?
Well. I think... Okay. I'm sorry. What were your guys' reactions?
Well, one was unspeakable, and the other one, actually, I thought, you know, it really doesn't really surprise me, because, I mean, it's about, in my opinion, it's about the Dark Knight, and I know that's terrible to say, but, you know, they are a corporation, and the bottom line is money, and to me, it was like, well, they're just maximizing that extraordinarily successful film, so that's what I think.
Which, let's be clear, it's not a bad thing. If this company
not.
Wasn't making a ton of money, they wouldn't put the care that they put into these films.
That's
so
true.
If that's what gets them to do it, then hey, whatever.
You know, I initially had a positive reaction, which is bizarre.
Did you?
Because everybody's been posting like, oh my God, WB, I'm going to protest and sign this and that. And actually, it's funny because over in apartment day, Leaky Mug, so to speak, with Andrew and me and Matt and Bree, we are all contemplating whether or not to dress up in our Potter gear and go down to Burbank and do a sit-in in front of Warner Brothers just for fun.
Yeah, good plan.
Which would be hilarious. But no, I'm thinking, like, wow, cool, so that means, you know, our little film fandom will go on a little bit longer. But then they said, oh, it's not going to delay Deathly Hallows at all. So I'm like, ah, what the hell, now you're just... making this big gap for us not to see anything. So then I got a little...
Well, yeah, that was puzzling out the timelines in my head before all this. I'm thinking, you know, late 2008, and then what? Late 2010? We have a two-year gap between films? It just seemed weird. Plus, it's been really quiet from the studio. The trailer took forever.
Yeah.
We had to pull down our set reports, which should have been the first honking giant clue. that, you know.
Oh, duh. That's why.
Yeah,
exactly. That's why they wouldn't elaborate on it.
And, yeah, nobody said anything else.
You know, but it's...
Just take it down.
That's ironic, though, because Entertainment Weekly, though, there's just this very week, had their full set visit, and they couldn't stop the presses.
Oh, wow.
So we have all this new... We got our first look at Narcissa Malfoy, the same, you know, like within this 24 hours, and it was like, you know, that would have been normally to see the great Unbreakable Vow scene would have been just like a huge cataclysmic thing in our fandom, and then... So it's kind of like, uh-oh.
Yeah, it came in the midst. You know, it's funny. We talked on tour one night about whether they'd have the Unbreakable Vow.
Yes, yes.
That, yes.
And I was the only one who thought, yes, thank you.
Oh, bullcrap.
Oh, not really? True. I don't know. I can't
I was
remember.
One that really, really wanted it, but I was never right. sure that
but
they
would. But I was the one who said that
way.
they wouldn't, I think. I can't remember. It's been a long tour. But that, actually, it's been a really short tour. So it's been a long 2 weeks. Yeah, I just thought that they wouldn't cut out such a beautiful visual, you know.
Oh God, no. that whole scene in that house.
It's just
no. But anyway, okay, so the release.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I don't want us to get
too
off track right now.
That's right.
So
well, okay, we posted this,
summer.
and basically, I got an email with the link to the story, and I'm staring at the story, going,
mm-hmm.
No, it's not true. What?
Yeah.
What? Waiting. I mean, it's on MarketWatch.com. Not exactly a disreputable site, okay?
Right.
So I'm going, yeah, okay. It must be true. Now, and I'm watching everybody freak out. So I said, okay, let's just email Warner Brothers. I had to, like, usually something that's on MarketWatch.com, you don't have to get confirmed with Warner Brothers. You know, it's on MarketWatch.com.
Right.
It's not.
Right.
But no, nobody would believe it until we got it confirmed.
Right. And then they put it up. They almost, it was... Eerie, because they put it up very quickly for Warner Brothers in speed. They put it on the official site, which was pretty remarkable speed time. But, you know, it was funny.
Yeah. I think this is one of those things that it's going to take us all a minute. Like not having Dumbledore's funeral, you know?
Right.
It's going to take everybody a second to go, okay, next. Like, I understand how everybody is. I know that now we have almost a year to wait for a film. But you know what? Beetle the Bard is coming in December. We've got,
yeah, for real.
You know, it's not like the movie.
Harry of History is coming in November.
Yes, Harry of History is coming in November. We have plenty to keep us, you know, to keep us going. And to be honest, you hit a wall when it's, I don't know about you guys last year, but I hit a wall of enthusiasm just between the movie and the book coming and the touring we were doing. It just, it was almost too much.
Yeah. It just kind of bothers me, though, and I understand that they have to all stand behind each other, but, you know, in the press release that they issued, you know, we're talking about how the summer's a tentpole time for family, you know, go to see a family movie. And I'm just like, you know what, dudes? Well, if that was the case.
So was Thanksgiving.
Yes, exactly. So for me, I had a little problem swallowing that, but, I mean, if that's fine, they wouldn't. I have no problem with the change, really, but I just wish they hadn't, you know.
Said it like that.
Yeah.
Here's the part that I have the biggest problem with.
Okay. I wanted to just...
That the dude stands up and says, oh, I've already seen the movie.
Yes.
Niner. And it's great. And we could have put it up. And I'm like, well, you're just a big bag of butt. Because...
What now?
Because it's like, well, then if you have all this extra time, these people should be sitting there in front of their computers and improving every shot they have.
Right.
You know?
Well, here's
the
other thing. What Sue just said, it's really interesting because they said, as evidenced with the Temple Summer release by our fifth film, which was our highest grossing next to Sorcerer's Stone. But what they're not mentioning is that Sorcerer's Stone was the highest grossing. It came out in November.
Exactly right.
So, I mean, the reasoning, you're totally right, Sue. The reasoning is a little bit, I would have complete respect. I wouldn't feel anything was wrong if they just said, look, we have something so gigantic on our hands right now with Dark Knight.
Right.
We really don't want to compete with that. We really don't want to compete with the DVD. We really want to make sure that Harry Potter has the biggest, gets the most attention it gets the most money, makes the most money it can make. Like, that's their job,
exactly.
You know?
Do they not anticipate any movies coming out in the summer string of summer movies?
Well, I mean,
what's on the table? We should already know this
nothing.
Information.
Well,
what's all due out next summer?
I do with
well,
Pavlov Prince is going to. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I know it's going up.
No, I'm just
up.
Saying we don't have Frack this week because he's running around New York City visiting it right now, and this is kind of a last minute thing. So next week when we have Frack, we'll have all this. But go ahead, Sue. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, I just want to say it's opening next year against the Land of the Lost, which I personally was going to go see because I remember the Slee Stacks. But I mean, it doesn't seem like Pavlov Prince is not going to have much competition next year, John. If that's what you're getting at.
Really?
That's just me.
Is there a new Chronicles of Narnia movie?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. That's a good question. I don't think so.
Well, how about I find out?
Not then. Yeah. I mean, but that's another movie that was when, you know, I mean, there's all this buzz out there now about, like, why did they actually change, you know, and all this stuff. But, you know, there's speculation. Well, we can talk about this next week. But, you know, the Twilight movie is going to be out this winter, too, the same time that Half-Blood Prince would have been out. But I still think there was room for both. But, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything.
I tell you. I can't wait for next week's episode to dish on Twilight.
Yeah.
Hopefully by then people will have read Breaking Dawn so we can talk about it.
Good.
Good.
We should save that for our drum segment, John.
That'll be next week's drum segment. Good grief.
No.
Good grief. That's all I have to say. For now.
Nom, 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 nom.
All right, well, as I said, next week we'll have Frack. He's in New York. Running around right now, visiting it. He's never been here before, so
Frack is back.
Yay! Back again. Until then, we are going to go and have our.
Let's step back in time with our big giant time turner and take us back 2 weeks to an awesome show with a group that must not be named, putting together an amazingly cool big old podcast on top of this pizza place that.
Yeah.
It was just way too much fun. An amazing show talking about, you'll find out.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And there's food.
Yay.
And there was pizza. And that was cool, too.
That's true.
Okay. Goodbye.
See ya.
Check, check, check. Check. Hello.
Oh, my.
We're testing. Hello. Hold on.
I don't want to mess up the mics. Sweet. It's a wake-up call for everyone.
This is Frankie's third live show ever in his life.
Hello. Can you guys hear me? Is the mic on?
We can hear you, can't we?
Oh, it is on. Yay. Hello, everybody.
Hi. Thank you guys
for
coming. Wow. For like a day of notice, you guys did well, huh? Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you to the group that must not be named, group that shall not be named, group that isn't named. I never get it right.
Work it.
For setting this up for us at such short notice, you guys rock. Happy birthday, Harry. Happy birthday, J.K. Rowling.
Yay!
And Jonathan. Jonathan the...
John. There he is.
There he is.
Yay!
And it's him, too. It's his birthday. It's his birthday right there.
Yeah, more birthdays.
More birthdays.
Wow.
Happy birthday. Love the shirt.
I'm wearing my tweed vest in honor of everybody's birthday because it's fancy.
It's a magical day.
Why don't you show them what's under your shirt?
Wandy corn.
Wandy corn!
It glows in the dark. So when you guys go see Harry and the Potters, you have to go buy it.
That's pretty cool.
I don't have it.
I'm sure the bands appreciate the Harry and the Potters merch.
We're all friends.
We don't have it back there.
That's cool.
Okay.
It just matched my pants.
Anyway.
All right.
What up, dude?
Important stuff. Come on, John. What's on the news today? We were up all night because of this.
What happened?
First of all, anybody at the show in Providence last night? I know at least one person was.
I think there were some people there.
We had a discussion about what we thought J.K. Rowling might be working on next or releasing next.
That was so random.
And it was random. Totally random. It was just, you know, just happened. And what happened this morning? Everybody checked their news sites this morning?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
And what are we getting? The Tales of Beetle the Bard will be yours, can be yours, on December 4th?
December 4th. Yeah. Two copies of it, actually.
We get the
blinged out one.
We like the bling. It comes with replica bling.
Yeah.
Like that.
It looks a lot like my copy that I don't let anybody touch.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So that's cool for everybody else, I guess. That's pretty sweet. You know, we got Fountain of Good Fortune and the Hibbity Dibbity and the...
No, Babbity Wabbity.
What was it?
It's not Hibbity Dibbity.
I can mix
or Bibbity Bobbity or anything else. It's Habbity...
Hibbity Bobbity Boo.
Can anybody out here name
it's
all
Babbity,
of Rabbity the
Tales? And the Cackling Stump. Okay, who can do that?
I know.
Can anybody other than somebody in particular name all the tales?
Who would this somebody particular be?
Wait, who? Raise your hand.
Okay, you.
All right.
Oh, come here, hurry up, hurry up.
In the beautiful shirt. Oh, this one. Next time.
Let's hear it.
The Tale of the Three Brothers, Babbity Rabbity and the Cackling Stump, The Fountain of Fair Fortune, and The Wizard in the Hopping Pot.
And?
And The Warlock and the Hairy Heart. Warlock, Terry Hart, and...
And what about...
Yeah.
Oh, yes!
That's
yay!
It, right? Yeah. Yay!
Permit.
So what did we think? What was your level of excitement about this announcement? Here, here, here.
See, it, to me, it was a 7, but then with the extra Dumbledore commentary, I shot it up to a 10.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No. There's going to be commentary from Dumbledore's files.
From his office.
Yeah.
Hermione did another Accio charm, and, you know.
Yes.
She, oh,
everything
isn't
else.
Cool? Hermione did that. She translated it.
Translated from the original ruins.
Yes, I mean, hell, if I was 100 and some years old, and I was, you know, a teacher in my office a lot, I'd be writing every day about something. So this got bound to be... You know, hundreds of rooms filled with Dumbledore's writing.
Rooms.
Yeah.
How much do you write now?
I'm saying if I was Dumbledore and I was 100 and I was a teacher and a principal or whatever
and
else.
Not busy with saving the world.
What did Dumbledore ever do during all 7 books anyway? Other than show up at the ministry and get killed.
What?
I don't know. I mean, we don't know what he was up to. Was never around when the world needed saving.
Oh, man.
I can acknowledge that horrible, blasphemous comment.
I mean, I love the old guy, but come on. Anyway, moving on before I get pitchforked.
I mean, what would you say
close.
After that? I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
Well, okay, here's what to say. How many of all you guys would show up at a midnight release party for Beatle and Barty? We haven't really heard if that's even going to be happening, but you'd think... You'd think it would. I don't know.
Why not?
I don't know. There were no midnight release parties for the comic relief books. This
but
is along the same.
Different.
That was what? Yeah, but they had midnight releases for the Goblet. Yeah.
If they can do a midnight release for some vampire book, they can make a midnight release for our companion book, for God's sakes.
Match point. Absolutely. Match point.
That's all I got to say. There's plenty of Potter fans that want to do one more midnight release until the Scottish book.
I want to do one for the Scottish book, though. I think sure they would.
The Scottish book, I'm going to line
up. I'm going to be camping out for that
one. Wait.
Well, there's certainly going to be some for that. And I already established the fact that the 10-year Deathly Hallows anniversary will have another special edition like the Sorcerer's Stone did. And we'll have midnight release parties. That's all the fans.
As we all look
say.
At Cheryl.
Yeah, yes.
Everybody, Cheryl Klein is Cheryl. Right there.
Yay! Hot Cheryl.
Hot
Cheryl,
with
as she's known on the show.
T's. 3 T's.
I think it's 4.
Well, you knocked her down to 3. She's at like 8 last I counted, wasn't she?
Last time I remember officially was 5.
5 was the last official count?
And you are apparently Ho-John.
I am, when you're less than awesome, you lose T's, so I'm apparently Ho-John.
So, it works on nice works. Multiple levels.
Hey,
it's very nice.
Hey, I'm a good boy.
I'm kidding. Yeah. All right, speaking of vampire books, you guys, John has an idea. He wants everybody at the midnight release parties tomorrow.
Is it tomorrow?
Yeah. Tomorrow?
Today is it? It's the 31st, guys. It's the birthday. Tomorrow night.
We're on tour time.
Tomorrow night, you show Twilight fans how to party and dress like Harry Potter to pick up your Twilight book. That's all we can say.
And say, we are the ones who did this first, okay?
Yeah.
And did it right.
What else? Midnight release party for Melissa's book. We talked about this last night.
Yes, we did.
All of you people who were lucky enough to be there last night got to hear the first page of Melissa's book being read. But as of right now, Melissa's
by
all,
John.
I don't want to.
It was cool.
I did a good job. Are you kidding me?
You did.
I didn't even stutter or nothing. What? I didn't stutter.
Make fun of stutters.
What? I usually do, but in front of people, I did good this time. Anyway.
You're really good.
Melissa's all, I don't know if I want to have a midnight release party. Who would want to come and do that? And I'd be like, probably anybody who comes to these things. So.
Don't want to is not the right term. I can't plan a midnight. You don't plan midnight release
It'd be like planning
parties.
Your own surprise birthday party.
Exactly.
I guess.
You
That's
don't
why
do
we'll
that.
Do it for you. There's enough other podcasters that didn't write the book that can plan it.
That's right.
Come on.
One.
Leaky's only 200 people strong, for gosh sakes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Three. Speaking of Leaky, who's thinking of going to LeakyCon next year?
Ooh.
That's not far from here.
Not very.
Not far at all.
We were there on our first stop, and we saw the hotel, and it was beautiful.
What happened?
We know.
Yeah, we got new concept art, right?
Yes.
Art.
Yeah.
That's not our thing here. Anyway, before that, LeakyCon, all you Wizard Rock fans, we're having just about every single Wizard Rock band I think that exists play at LeakyCon.
Who's got their registration already? Oh, you guys need to get moving. For reals. Go get it. LeakyCon.com because jump on it because they're going fast.
Ain't much left. We're only letting like 10,000 people in. So.
You guys, I was over. There's a castle across the street that we get to participate in.
Yeah, we just had a show in the hotel where it's going to be.
Towers,
and there's a castle right across the street where we're going to be having the ball.
There's only like a dozen ghosts, though. I was disappointed. I thought there'd be more than that.
We got ripped off on the ghosts.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, they vacation during the summer, so they'll be there.
Okay. Yeah. Well, as long as they'll be there.
We need to reserve them a year.
But are there going to be Knights of Hogwarts there? Is what we want to know.
The headless hunt was taken, though.
That would be cool.
Yeah, they're.
What? Why don't you dress up in costume as a knight?
I could do that. That'd be fun. That'd be heavy.
Okay. Who here has seen the Half-Blood Prince trailer?
Ah!
Awesome!
What are we screaming out? Who's hot? That little boy?
Yeah.
Come on!
Hot?
Oh, he's so evil and creepy!
He's like 7 years old or
something. Can we contain ourselves?
I hope a seven-year-old said that. If a seven-year-old said that, that's okay.
That's just so wrong. I mean, he's so gleeful and when evil when Dumbledore lights up that cupboard. I mean, such a fire.
No, but his face. How old is he for real?
I'm sorry. Last night we had the show in Providence, and everybody was awesome and really enthusiastic and everything, and they screamed and were excited about the trailer. We come to New York, and the first thing we hear is, he's hot! That's awesome. I love New York.
Sorry. How old is he actually?
He's nine.
That makes it okay.
I mean, there's like...
No!
See, here's the creepy thing, is that there is like teeny magazines that put like the stupid Zach and Cody brothers as hot people in their magazines. So if they do that to us, though, I'm going to be pissed, because he's the bad guy. He's supposed to be cool. Are they? They used to be nine.
Who's
at
Zach
some
and
point.
Cody?
These little punks on Disney Channel with the little haircuts.
Living
really?
Live in the hotel?
Yeah, they live
that
in the hotel.
That was Ross's son from Friends.
It was yeah.
Really?
Yeah, those kids were Ben.
Yeah.
All of them?
All at once. Like
they were all...
When they're children, you have to...
Like Mary-Kate.
Okay. Well, anyway, what did you guys think about that trailer? That was a bit of a departure for us for the trailer. It was a little bit not so flash and action, but it was kind of a scene.
Ginny was not in the bathroom.
I think
Ginny was in a bathrobe.
Oh.
Yeah.
She's at the burrow.
Oh, my God. If they put Ginny in a bathroom in the trailer, just kind of sitting there, everybody would come to that movie. Come on.
Except me.
Do we have to?
I don't know.
What? No. No.
Okay.
I think that's when the burrow is attacked and she's running about.
Yeah, we heard about that, right? You guys think that the burrow's going to catch the flame and...
Did you speak to who was chasing her, though?
Anybody catch it? I have to know.
You slow it down.
Who
frame
did
for
what
frame?
I did? Who downloaded it in the super high res, the movie? Who went frame by frame? That's right. You got your nerd award today.
Yes.
And if you did that, you saw Fenrir Greyback.
Right.
Really, like, there's like two frames of him. And really pointed, scraggly, you know, gross.
You see, like, this much of him.
Yeah, but it was enough, though. I mean, it gave
it
you that
good.
Impression that,
yeah,
like
yeah,
that,
yeah.
You know.
Wolfish, masculine.
That's if you can see this much of his face and still tell he's a very well rolled
You can also
play,
see those pictures
good.
In our galleries. Woohoo!
Do you think Fenrir's able to talk to, like, Remus, like, through his, like, werewolf telepathicness or anything?
They don't know that.
They're
maybe
not.
They're both werewolves.
He's on the opposite side. I don't think that they would be having, like, sort of.
That would
like,
be really annoying.
But
yeah.
He's the one that turned him into a werewolf. Some of them don't want to talk very much.
That's like, what's going on?
Do you think we'll find that out in this film? That Fenrir turned Remus?
If he's in there, like, 2 minutes, they're not going to.
No.
He's two dialogues. He'll be like, he turned me into a werewolf.
Plus,
that's not going to be Remus's only lines in the movie. They only give him like four.
Is that how
right. I mean, Remus
turned me into a werewolf.
He's pooping out of a doorway. He's all
right.
He turned me into a werewolf.
Plus, he's never. I mean, they said that the Tonks Remus thing was only going to be in it very briefly.
Very
so,
briefly.
You know.
Very visually. Sad. Very physically. Not.
Yeah.
In words so
right.
much.
Oh, that's true.
Physically?
Listen,
well,
you guys.
I guess they could have a hold up a sign I turned into a werewolf. Right?
Yeah. Dirty minds, this crowd, you know.
T-shirt?
Yeah.
I'm with the werewolf t-shirt. Yeah.
I'm with the Tonks.
That'd be cute if Tonks.
That would be
that.
Fun.
That'd be a very Tonks cool. shirt.
The little arrow.
Oh, we should make that.
But I, you know what else I noticed in the trailer?
What's
my
that?
Favorite part
what?
Was the Horcrux, the ring.
Ooh,
and I creepy. Thought that was way cool.
Now, what are we talking about? The fact that like Dumbledore's hand seems to be wow. fine.
Right.
And it's a flashback. It has to be a flashback.
To like,
because Dumbledore's right hand, he's going to put the ring on. And the way the movie starts, if that's not a flashback, then they're starting the movie before the book technically starts.
It didn't attack him until he tried to destroy the ring. He can wear it until it's a threat.
No.
As soon as he put it on.
Yeah.
Put it on. Because he tried to take possession and use it of, and it, because it's a Horcrux. Yeah. If it was just a stone, he could have.
See, that was the whole big thing. Dumbledore was all like, you know, that's the difference between you and me, Harry. It's like, I was tempted to use this power, and you'd, like, have all three of them in front of you and just be like, whatever, I'll drop it in the forest.
Yeah, so...
You know? Dumbledore tries it on, and he gets, his, you know, almost killed. That thing wasn't just supposed to kill his hand.
It wasn't a Horcrux when Harry used it.
Right.
Well, yeah.
But that's the difference. Dumbledore thought it was just the Resurrection Stone.
Yeah.
No, he thought it was a Horcrux.
He knew it was a...
No, but he didn't care. He thought it was the he was a Resurrection Stone, so he wanted to use it. But this is my question. Do we think that we're going to see him actually putting it on and seeing that moment in the film?
That would be sweet.
Book. It doesn't have to be. Why not? They never really explain it in the seventh book. We just kind of figure.
It'd be a flashback as opposed to like a
he put it on. He doesn't say like what happened. I know, but it's there's really no reason not to have that in this film. Why not?
That's true.
It's a Horcrux, right? Yeah. It could just look like a power of a Horcrux. You don't have to reveal that it was a Resurrection Stone. You know? There was some ring,
like
an old ring.
You know his nails are always kind of yucky.
Because when Harry sees the ring.
Yeah,
on.
But the hand, that if that was Tom as an older man, it would have been whiter.
But he's gone. When he took off his hand, like when he killed him, and then.
But there's no gaunts.
There's no gaunts.
Gaunts are cut.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, it wasn't on.
I don't know that for sure.
They've never been cast, so.
Yeah. That'd be a neat bonus.
No, it's going on because the whole idea is that he's putting it on, and then there's like a flash of evil. It's like a temptation thing. It's putting it on, not taking off.
I need to rewatch the trailer.
Yes,
how many times?
Okay,
forgive me.
Aw. But we've been. What else in that trailer?
Well, the shot at the end was the best part, though. I mean, the Horcrux for me was cool, but that shot when he flashed from young Tom Riddle to Fiennes.
Yeah. You guys think that kid acted pretty well for that part?
Oh, very.
Everybody's
very
excited
well.
For this. No one's all, could have picked somebody else.
Does anybody think that it's too above the heads of people who aren't fans already?
I think it's hard.
Do you really? Do you really? Can you go up here? I want to hear what you say. Why? Because I find that interesting.
Somebody was saying, like, you know, it looked like the British version of The Sixth Sense with the creepy little kid talking about ghosts and things. Yeah, it was some moron reviewer or whatever trying to get links to his blog.
Nice shirt.
Hi. Thanks. Well, I feel like if you hadn't read the book and you just saw the trailer, you would say, oh, it's Harry Potter and the flashbacks, but you wouldn't know what the plot was.
Yeah.
Well, see, I agree with you, but then at the very end, you have that little exposition of, did you know Professor Dumbledore? And he's like, that I was facing the most powerful evil wizard of all time.
No. Right. No, I agree, but I feel like you would think, so Dumbledore and Harry talk about what they do, but does anything actually happen, or did they just learn about Voldemort? I mean, I'm really excited from the trailer, but I think if you hadn't read the book, you would say, what's the point if you're not, like, obsessed with Harry Potter and you don't want to learn, like, this back history?
Well, it's to whet your appetite. You don't need the whole... That's
no, I know. It's like a tease.
Yeah.
Why?
Okay, I see what you mean.
I mean, that's a point of contention. Even reading Half-Blood Prince is you know how much of that did everybody want to see versus how much would other people want to see Dumbledore and Harry use their time to whip each other up with, you know, like cool new spells and stuff. Yeah. So it's a matter of the story.
That would have been boring in a book.
What's that?
Just see them practicing spells with each other.
That would have been boring
in a book. Yeah, come on.
I think
Lord of the Rings books did all right. What?
If they'd had a shot of, like, the battle on the tower.
I'm sorry. Hold on a second. Where was the learning spells scene in Lord of the Rings?
I'm not talking about learning spells. I'm talking action. And there's plenty of
action,
learning spells scene.
Let's practice spells in my room, Dumbledore. Okay. Dirty minds. Oh, my God.
What?
Can't say anything to this crowd. No, I heard the knowing laughter out there. I heard you all.
How many pages did it take Lupin to teach Harry how to do the Patronus term?
It's chapters.
How many pages did all that take? How is it, would it be different from Dumbledore teaching Harry all these spells?
You don't do it twice.
Well, it'd be even cooler.
Spells. He was learning his enemy. That's the point.
We were that and the DA. Like, come on, enough.
It's a different story. It's just a different...
We were expecting him to learn spells and all this fancy stuff, but he was learning his enemy, what really mattered.
Yeah.
In battle scene, that's going to be later on. We don't need it for the first
I thought if they just had a flash of it in like a quick montage at the end, then people would have thought, oh, there actually is some plot to this.
Well, there is some Harry. What do we see? Him enter the Pensieve and there's nothing else of him in the entire trailer? Yeah. Is that right?
Well, looking over at Ron. Yeah.
We even looked, we're like, where's his scar? You know, we couldn't find it.
That scar changes places about five times in the movie.
It's true.
It's cool.
Moves around.
It's still summer, still time to take a road trip and listen to audiobooks in the car, and the best way to do that is to go to audible.com, the leading provider in spoken word entertainment. You can choose from over 35,000 titles to be downloaded and played back anywhere on those long trips or on your iPod in your home. Just like Pottercast, go to audiblepodcast.com/Pottercast and get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, audiblepodcast.com/Pottercast for your free audiobook.
Does anybody know what time it is?
What time is it?
Rockin'. Aside from being tool time, it is time to play Guess That Book.
Yeah!
Woo!
Woo!
So we have our helper. He is on his way to help play the clips for Guess That Book. His name is
Super Alex.
Super Alex.
Hello.
We actually have quite a few Leaky staffers here today.
Yes.
Including Alex and including Nick, who are our senior Leaky programmers that make Leaky work, even though it's not really working well today, because they're all here hanging out with us, so it's cool. But okay, we're playing Guess That Book. Guess That Book is a fun game we do where we play a clip from the audiobooks, Harry Potter 1 through 7, usually the Jim Dale version, so it's familiar to all of our Yankee ears. But we get to play about a 5 to 15 second clip, I guess. Yeah. The person we call up to play has to shout out what book it's from when they hear it. And the audience is encouraged not to help unless they use a lifeline, which is called Phone a Friend. I made it up.
Yeah. Very clever, wasn't it?
So when we bring you up, we'll ask your name, where you're from, and what house you're from, which is important because you're only allowed to phone a friend from your own house.
That's tricky.
Okay, so make sure you associate with a smart house and not Hufflepuff.
Excuse me. And whose house has been getting whooped there, Mr. Slytherin?
Slytherins haven't been doing very well, actually. Anyway, who would like to be one of the first to play Guess That Book? Susie, do you like to pick?
That's one I was using before.
She had her hand up first. She's ready to rock. Yes.
Okay. Come on up.
Don't worry, we have plenty of choices.
And let's actually select two more people so we don't have to wait to have anybody else come up. How about a boy? How about a boy right there? There's a boy. And another girl from the back. How about right there with the necklace? Your price is right. Come on down.
Come on down.
Skinny microphone.
Anyway, who do we have here first? What's your name? Where are you from? And what house are you in?
My name is Christy. I'm from the Upper West Side of Manhattan. And
come here a little closer.
I'm back here. And my house is Ravenclaw. But
We'll see.
If I get right, then I'll claim Ravenclaw. If not, maybe.
Ravenclaw. Yeah, that. It's like Raven's Claw. No, Frankie's. See the three fingers?
How are we doing over here, Lan, in making it work, Lan? Do you want to just... Okay. Do a test if you think
Harry! It's... Said Ron, his eyes...
All right, cool.
There you go.
All right, cool. Well, you know how to play, right?
Yes,
gonna,
I guess the book.
We're going to play the... Exactly. Very good. I don't,
snarky Ravenclaw comment.
I don't expect you to get
that's
it
a New
wrong.
Yorker right there.
All right, well, then this should be an easy game. All right, are you ready? We're going to play. As soon as Alex gives me the thumbs up, we're going to play Guess That Book.
Pass the frying pan. You've forgotten the magic word, said Harry irritably. The effect of this simple sentence on the rest of the family was incredible.
Guess That Book. Guess That Book.
I'm just going to guess and say Chamber of Secrets. Is
that right? Survey says?
Survey says. What's the survey say over here? Purple.
Purple. Yeah.
Yay! Yes. You have guessed that book. You can go to the back to the cute girls in the green shirts with the buttons.
Oh,
you
yay.
Can pick a button.
Yay.
Well done. Good job.
All right. Who's next? Come on up.
Hey. I'm George. I'm 16. I'm from New York, Queens.
And what house are you in?
Ravenclaw.
Another Ravenclaw. Ah. We're going to lose all
over,
of our buttons.
Taking over.
There's a lot of Ravenclaw here tonight. I've noticed that. I'm a very
well,
happy...
are you ready, Mr.
York,
George,
man.
To play Guess That Book?
New York.
A lot of Ravenclaws in New York.
Let's give us a Guess That Book.
So you've just been taking credit for what a load of other people have done? Said Harry, incredulously.
Chamber of Secrets.
Oh, come on. Another Chamber of Secrets. Survey
wait,
says.
Wait, chapter. Can I do a chapter?
Oh, yes.
Give us the beginning, middle, or end.
And the chapter Chamber of Secrets when they go down there and the memory charm.
It's a smart Ravenclaw we have here. Should we give him a hard question, guys? Yeah. We don't want to take advantage of easy
anyway.
Questions here.
Yeah, I'll get a button anyway.
Give me one with an H in front of it, Mr. Alex. Yeah, they all. Some of them. Really?
A few minutes later, he heard the slamming of car doors, the rumble of an engine, and the unmistakable sound of the car sweeping out of the drive.
Order of the Phoenix.
Order of the Phoenix. He guessed that book. Very good. You win a button. Walk over there to the back and pick out your Ravenclaw or other button.
Yeah, you just go back to the table.
All right. Come on up. Who's next?
Hi. My name's Stacy. I am a Slytherin.
Very nice. Ooh. I'm assuming you're from around here.
Yeah.
Perhaps part of a certain meetup group.
I'm part of the group that shall not be named. And I also happen to be one half of Swish and Flick.
Nice. Excellent. Well, are you ready to play Guess That Book?
Yeah.
Is Alex ready to play Guess That Book? Here we go. Guess That Book.
Hermione, who was standing slightly behind them, whispered, "No, don't. Honestly, it's not worth it."
Don't you say that all the time?
Yeah, that's pretty much her refrain.
Lifeline, please.
Would you? Lifeline. You'd like to phone a Slytherin?
Yes, please.
Slytherins, raise your hand.
Like three of you guys?
Come on.
Everybody's nervous.
There's three that want to identify themselves right now.
Yeah.
Someone's excited
that
about
guy.
Being a Slytherin back there.
Oh, am
point,
I supposed
point,
to pick?
To whoever
oh,
you
I'm
like.
Supposed to pick. Okay. Yeah. You, the guy.
Your guess is?
Is it, I don't know.
Your phone to friend said Sorcerer's Stone.
What do you think?
Okay. I'm going to say something else because they've all... been kind of like early books, so I'm going to choose something from a later book. I'm going to say Order of the Phoenix. I think it's
book six was the answer we were looking for. I'm sorry, but thank you for playing Guess That Book. Round of applause even for playing. Who else would like to play? Raise some hands right here in the bow.
We need Gryffindors and Hufflepuffs. Do not be shy.
We're not dueling just yet.
Okay. Sorry.
Red shirt, because you wore an awesome shirt to our show.
That is a quite awesome shirt.
And another boy.
I think she wore a different
How about right
shirt.
Over here?
And then changed.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Christina. I'm from Dix Hills, Long Island. And I'm also a Ravenclaw.
Another yes! Ravenclaw.
I like this city.
Okay, ready to guess that book?
Well, it might be easier to get past the dragon if he were a ferret, Harry thought dully. He'd be smaller, much less easy to see from a height of 50 feet.
Guess that book?
Goblet of Fire?
I believe that is Goblet of Fire. Congratulations. We have bored the Ravenclaw with Guess That Book.
She is quite
Thanks
bored.
For playing. Please claim your button in the back.
That was hard. I want to know who's labeling these things.
These are our lovely editors. Andrew.
Love our editors, but that wasn't hard.
Emma, okay. Noah, Steed. Yeah. I just said Andrew, didn't I? Yeah.
Next.
Lots of folks.
I'm Angelique, and I'm from the Bronx here in New York.
Nice.
And guess what house I'm in?
Not a Ravenclaw.
It's on our hand.
Yeah. It's a conspiracy.
Ravenclaws?
Yeah.
Raise your hand.
Holy.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. That's actually, the first time ever.
Let's do it for the podcast. If you're a Ravenclaw, make some noise. If you're Hufflepuff. Gryffindor. Slytherin.
Now we just know that everybody's really loud.
Well, Slytherins and Hufflepuffs weren't very loud, but Ravenclaws and Gryffindors are pretty loud.
Yeah. Represent.
All right, Ravenclaw, are you ready to play Guess That Book?
Yes, I am.
Here we go.
He swaggered into the dungeon, his right arm covered in bandages and bound up in a sling, as though he were the heroic survivor of some dreadful battle.
No help, audience.
There's just so many, so many battles.
True.
I think I might have to phone a friend.
Phone one of the 100 Ravenclaws. Phone the friend side, Prisoner of Azkaban. Is that your final answer?
I'll trust a fellow Ravenclaw.
All right. I believe that is correct. Prisoner of Azkaban, you guessed that book. You can both go get a door hanger from the back. You too. Awesome. All right, one more, and then we start dueling, which is fun.
Okay, just speaking to us. Hi, I'm Matt Morrison.
Come over here, away from the speaker. It's okay.
You're fine, you can write right here. Okay. I'm Matt Morrison from White Plains.
Okay.
And I'm
the White Plains store.
And what house are you in?
Gryffindor.
Gryffindor, nice. Okay, are you ready to play Guess That Book?
Yes.
Okay.
It waggled its long ears, making up its tiny mind.
That's tough. Let's hear it one more time.
One more time, Alex.
It waggled its long ears, making up its tiny mind.
Oh, the snake in the first one.
No, the troll.
Oh, the troll.
Tiny was the car. Word there, tiny.
Yeah, like, tiny mind.
You're thinking about like a little bunny, but it's
I was thinking stupid. Like, what's stupid in the books?
All right, who wants to duel? We need one of our many Ravenclaws. And because you are the majority here, who does Ravenclaw want to duel? What house?
What do you guys want to duel?
Slytherin, Gryffindor, Hufflepuff. Okay, they're calling for the easy win. They're calling for Hufflepuff. So I need a Slytherin or a Ravenclaw.
And you can phone a friend. Thank you very much.
So who's our Ravenclaw? Did you pick one? Ravenclaw? Who's our Hufflepuff? Who's not embarrassed to raise their hand
pick
here? How about a Hoya Hoya?
It's some Pellegrino thing.
Pellegrino time.
Aw. It's Pellegrino time.
Product placement much?
Okay. Let's hear your names and where you're from.
I'm Kevin from Garden City, Long Island.
And you are the Ravenclaw?
Yes, I am.
And over here?
I'm Haya, and I'm from Staten Island, New York.
Okay. And you are the Hufflepuff, apparently. Excellent. Okay, well, how we play this special dueling round is that it's best of three, quickly. So we're going to play the clips, and as soon as you know the answer, you have to yell into the mic. Yeah. Well, no, if you were paying attention. You guys remember how to play that game?
Yeah.
Is that what you guys want to see? All right, we'll do an old school dueling game. Vintage podcast. Okay. The category for this duel is... Oh, God, I want to play with Cheryl now. I can't decide it. We're going to do for this one Gryffindor, students. Okay. Not Gryffindor students. Any Hogwarts student.
No. Well, Gryffindor.
Gryffindor. Okay, fine. Just Gryffindor. Okay, that's right. Yeah,
so. The books aren't about the Gryffindors.
He memorized the Facebook. So, yeah, there's totally Hogwarts Facebook. All right, ready? Starting with the Hufflepuff.
Harry Potter.
Hermione Granger.
Ron Weasley.
Neville Longbottom.
Fred Weasley.
Ginny Weasley.
George Weasley.
Huh? What's that?
If we just know they're a Gryffindor.
Yeah. Charlie Weasley.
Bill Weasley.
Percy Weasley.
Arthur Weasley.
That's an adult.
They were Gryffindor.
Is it just Gryffindors or is it students?
Oh, sorry.
Godric.
You want me to change it?
Okay, fine. Any Gryffindor then. Godric.
He was a teacher.
He was a founder.
Yeah.
Pretty big.
Keep going. Just
Colin Creevy.
Pansy Parkinson. No.
Shit! Oh! No! No!
Oh!
Oh!
Boo!
You
boo!
I lose!
Boo!
Somewhere in Scotland, Joe is crying right now. On her birthday.
Pansy's like the opposite of a...
Gosh. Good work, dude. You've won the duel. You can go claim a button.
What? You get one of these buttons.
Oh, actually, no. You actually get one of the Frankie original Pottercast buttons.
Original buttons. Look at his.
These are one of a kind. We only stamped one of these.
Hold on. You're not Slytherin.
So you grab one of these. We'll call up a Gryffindor versus Slytherin here.
Okay.
Do you want to I hear a Slytherin. You want to play? All right.
I have Ravenclaw.
I need a Gryffindor. I see you very excited in the purple dress.
Purple dress?
Do 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 do. What do you guys want to hear? Another duel like that? Or I guess that book duel?
Old school.
Old school duel? Okay, that's fun. I actually forgot that we did that. Isn't that weird? We did it last night. Yeah, very briefly. Okay. How about we duel with Fantastic Beasts and Creatures? Any magical animal that we've heard about. Give us your names first, where you're from, and which one of you is Gryffindor and Slytherin.
I'm Leanne. I'm from New York City, and I'm a Slytherin.
Awesome.
I'm Lucinda. I'm from Brooklyn and
Brooklyn.
And I'm a Gryffindor.
Yay! Okay, we're going to start with the Gryffindor.
Okay. Manticore.
Unicorn.
Hippogriff.
Did you say Hufflepuff?
Yes. Yes.
That's badger would count, I guess. Hufflepuff badger.
I guess they're magical.
Did you tell people to beat up on Hufflepuff?
I did not. There was not any posters outside that said beat up on Hufflepuff.
New York is not a place for Hufflepuff, Sue. It's just not.
You know, if you cut a badger in half, you'd get two chipmunks. Did you know that? I read that in a book. Oh, I love Sue, really.
Oh, Miss Susie.
I don't like you, Mr. John. Mr. Hammer. Where's that hammer?
Mr. Hammer's in the car. We left Mr. Hammer in the car. You'll see him at Terminus.
All right,
we cracked
the
window. He's fine. All right, go ahead.
Measle.
Scroot.
Shame on you, John. No.
All right.
The blast-ended Scroot.
Okay.
Hungarian Horntail.
Acromantula.
Swedish Short Snout.
Are you allowed to say different? Okay. Chinese Fireball.
There you go.
Welsh Green.
Hebridean Black.
Wow. Who did we call up here? This isn't your sister, is it, Cheryl? Okay.
Do owls count?
Owls? Not by name. You can say an owl.
Okay, owl, yeah.
Measel.
I just said that.
Oh. Another way you can tell we're in New York. Everybody curses when they lose.
Aw, crap. Well, good job, guys. Good duel. Slytherin prevails this time.
All right, thank you, guys. Thank you, Cheryl, most of all. We have the Whomping Willows coming up for you right now. Woo!
So it's great, really, really great to be touring with Pottercast. How awesome is Pottercast? Like, I feel like Pottercast is so awesome that if you were to like construct a rating system to rate podcasts, like Pottercast would be like tier one at least. I mean, they'd be so awesome. Okay, anyway, this next song is about Hermione Granger. Hermione, this is killing me. You're seriously a tease just for existing close to me. My curiosity keeps me in captivity. You're gonna make this tree a slave to pure insanity. Fires, it's been since we first met. Now you're kicking it with house elves and you're every teacher's pet. But to you, a tree is just a tree. What would it take for you to wake up hanging next to me? Oh wait, I'm a rock star. And not just any rock star. I'm a wizard rock star. And I rock out in a human body. So Hermione, I found a loophole. Why don't you come and check out one of my rock shows? I'll take you to the after party. You can get familiar with my human body. Hope it's clear to see. My muggle form is waiting for the moment when we're dating. We'll crash the scene. I'll treat you like a queen. We'll be like Romeo and Juliet, except we won't be dead. 5 years it's been since I first set my lonely eyes upon you. Now I'm finally breaking through. So what do you say? Let's run away. Leave everything behind. We're out until the end of time. Cause girl, I'm a rock star. And not just any rock star. I'm a wizard rock star. And I rock out in a human body. So Hermione, I found a loophole. Why don't you come and check out one of my rock shows? I'll take you to the after party. You can get familiar with my human body. So this will be the part where she considers my proposal. And this next part would be where she rejects my proposal. But it's cool because I've moved on to Luna Lovegood. Oh girl, I'm a rock star. And not just any rock star. I'm a wizard rock star. And I rock out in a human body. So Luna, I found a loophole. Why don't you come and check out one of my rock shows? I'll take you to the after party. You can get familiar with my human body. My human body. My human body.
Okay, so this is the part of the podcast where we talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Yay!
Questions and all that junk. So whoever wants to go first, come on up here.
You're all knowing.
Hi, my name's Becky. I'm from Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is actually from my brother. Before Deathly Hallows came out, we had a lot of issues coming up. And this is something that he was wondering about. He said, if Peter Pettigrew turned into a rat and ate a Cheez-It and filled his stomach with it and then turned back into a human, would he still be full?
Ooh. That is a very legitimate question.
Can I tackle that one?
Everybody
looks at me.
If it was a magical Cheez-It, then it may have transfiguration properties as well.
What if he eats
like a turkey dinner and then turns into a rat?
Yeah. Oh.
That's
very interesting.
I would think it'd vanish, like the whole thing.
I think it would shrink
because I think it's just
it would shrink proportionally, and then if you get bigger, it would get bigger.
Oh wait, I got an answer because in the seventh book, you can't produce food.
Food, right.
So it would just, it would be the same amount.
But see, Scabbers was eating, though, in book one. He was in book one. Wasn't he eating on the train to, like, the food inside Ron's candy?
Yeah, he's able
to eat. I'm thinking about Frankie's question. Like, if you eat a big turkey dinner and then you transform.
I mean, for that one, because of clothing, obviously doesn't go away.
Exactly. The clothing thing is the key.
Yeah, but wouldn't you die? Your stomach explode?
No. But do you revert back into human form if you're killed as an animagus?
I would hope so.
I think it's just limited. I'm going to say it's just limited to your animal form, and then it's when you transform back, it's
I think it'd be the same amount of Cheez-It.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It's magic.
A very large piece of Cheez-It?
Yeah.
No. It's magic.
Yeah.
Because you can't make the food multiply.
So you could be full as a rat and then starving when you turn into a human.
That's why you stay as a rat.
Well, but look at Sirius, though, because he was always skinny and, you know. So yeah.
It was a diet plan on Peter Pettigrew's part?
What?
You're supposed to stay a rat so he doesn't eat that much food.
How do you think he lived for so long outside of Voldemort's protection?
Yeah, he had to eat.
You have a really cheap food budget for the month.
Okay. Thank you. This guy over here with the red hair.
Fun question.
Louise, come up. You got to talk on the mic. You have to talk. Come here. You have to talk on the mic. I'm sorry, because the people at home will yell at us then.
They do. Get mad.
Yeah.
And they throw things at us. And it's hard because it's through the internet.
Just about that last question. Rita Skeeter, if she ate anything and turned into a bug, she would like explode. And she doesn't. So. She doesn't eat anything.
We're
which
talking
is
about from animal to human, not human to animal.
Right, but what? Same thing.
No, because the clothing. The clothing doesn't vanish or shove inside herself. It's there when she turns human.
It's part of like her
aura. It's magic.
At that point. Yes.
All right.
But yeah, the clothing does go marked. Remember the horn glasses?
True.
Yeah,
that's
don't get
true.
Confused with movie, though. The movie canon is dodging. Yeah.
Bingo.
Okay.
I'm Katie from Ohio, and my question is actually for Melissa. What was the best part of the process of writing your book, and what was the most difficult?
Ooh, that's a very good, insightful question.
I'm a publishing major, so I kind of want to hear from the author's perspective.
Oh, wow. The author's
perspective. I like to pace behind her chair while she was working and be like, what you doing? What you doing? What you doing?
He's not kidding.
No, I'm not.
He came over, and I said to him, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be very much fun. I'm writing right now. He said, okay, you know. And if you don't give John something to do, turn around and like,
yes. She bought me a puzzle. Like, she bought me a Rubik's Cube.
She finally trained Bruce, like, go away!
Finally, I sent him to the city and I got a friend for him. Sam came over and they went out and
got a friend,
and went on tourism.
Friend? Did you
but,
run
a run? The best part is always when, and it's really a mystery, but like for instance with the opening and a couple of other things, there was a bunch of information that I knew I had to shove into one box per se, and I didn't know how I was going to get there, and I would stress about it, and I would have nightmares about it, and stuff like that. I didn't know exactly how I would get there. And then literally, I woke up one morning, opened my eyes, and I knew exactly how I was going to do the first chapter. And I knew it's just, it comes like that only after you've agonized over it for a long time. So that was the best part. Those moments when there's that clarity and like it seems like angels are singing from above and you're like, yes, I can do this now. That's great. The hardest part, is right now it's watching it get cemented into a book, because now forever, every time I look at words, I want to change them forever. And I handed back my proofs with all these edits. My editor was like, you changed a lot. And I said, I'm sorry, but there's like an awkward phrasing here and a this there. And I just have to like learn to let go, you know, and I'm not quite there yet. But thank you. It's very flattering that you had a question about that. Thank you.
Yay. Who else has a question?
Early in the show, you mentioned, in the beginning of the show, you're talking about. You were saying about.
Do you want to think about it and we'll come back?
No, it's a little nervous.
Okay, that's totally cool.
Early in the show, you're talking about. You're talking about you mentioned earlier when earlier they did try more of a universal format, so in the end they know that who the audience is. I don't think it really was for the fans versus the non fans of the books. That's for either or, based on the fact that towards the end they show Voldemort as an adult, transition from adult to a kid, so you recognize him as who he was, and how and Richard and Michael Gambit's ending line.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I agree. That's
what
I think too. Because he had the storytelling set up, so it's kind of like, ooh, what's going on? Who's this kid? I don't get it. And then all of a sudden at the end, like, and then the whole, like, did I know it was him? And it's like, no, I didn't. It's like, oh, now we know what he didn't know.
Right, just
that
in
we
case.
Do know. Now they do know.
Cool.
Anyways.
Thank
yes,
you.
Very good point.
Thank you.
Hello. My name's Devin, and I live in Queens. My question is, and I think the answer might be, so there could be seven books. But my question is, why wasn't James his own secret keeper? Because I went through the first, like, you know, five, six books thinking, well, it must be something that you can't keep your own secret. But then Bill was his own secret keeper for the Shell Cottage. So why did James need anyone else to be secret keeper?
Was Bill his own secret keeper?
Yeah, Bill was secret keeper for Shell Cottage, so why couldn't James have been secret keeper for Godric's Hollow?
Maybe he figured if something happened to him, he wanted people to be able to find his wife and his child.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
He's already a target. At that
yeah.
Point.
Plus, now I don't understand that whole Dumbledore pre-understanding, but maybe because Dumbledore knew that Harry's powers, too, that he insisted that there was... Did he have something to do with it?
Maybe he advised that there were other, you know, another secret. But I agree.
Yeah, Dumbledore did have that whole, like, Machiavelli or whatever.
Machiavellian kind of control.
Yeah. You know, so maybe he was just like, no, I'm going to do it this way. Sorry.
Was Fleur also a secret keeper on Shell Cottage?
Could it be just something to...
Yeah, I mean, the Grimmauld Place.
Order of the Phoenix.
Yeah, the Order. Yeah.
James had... Yeah, it was
part of his nature.
Fatal flaw, literally.
Yeah.
Literally.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's cool. Yeah.
That
thinking
is a good
point.
I see. I didn't realize that Bill was his own. I would say you can't be on super camper, but I didn't realize that. Yeah. So.
There was a guy over here.
Good question.
Sorry, we got to make you walk.
Make you walk.
How about the Whomping Willows, huh?
That
she
was
walked
good.
Down to the boiler room.
Pretty awesome.
Hey, my name's Rich from Staten Island, and.
Mike,
talk.
Great girls. Yeah. Oh, really?
We're like neighbors.
Go down to the boiler room and talk about it.
What is it? With the seventh book, what bothered me was that Burrow had a Fidelis charm on it, and once the Ministry fell, like, even though, like, no one let the secret out, the Death Eaters was still able to get in. Like, I never got that.
Oh.
Yeah, with Arthur...
Was it... Maybe she's there outside?
don't know.
No.
It had a Fidelis charm, like it was
confusing. Right. Sure. You mean because like we're in the they have it seven potters, right? And there's a thing over the edge. But yeah, they're able to get.
Yeah, because the.
Because the tonks, right? Or the.
The wedding. They,
the Death wedding.
Eat, yeah, the Death Eaters broke in, and the wedding was at the barrel, and there was still a Fidelis charm on it. When the ministry fell, it was.
But a secret keeper would have had a tell.
Yeah. I mean, the guests.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
How did the guests get? How did the guests
maybe they
get
had
in?
A break it for the
so they
day,
really
for
probably
the, for
did.
The guests. That's a good point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who said that? You get a clap. Well.
Thanks, Staten Island.
If they snuck her through
Staten
the boiler
Island,
room, then
Staten
they might
Island.
Have had a better chance.
She has a question.
That doesn't count, John.
She has a question.
That was.
Hi, I'm Sam from Yonkers.
Yonkers.
My question is, if you guys could turn into an animal, what animal would you be?
Frack excited.
And could you turn into a pigeon? I don't know.
Is this the is this Patronus, ooh. Or if we could actually
animal?
No,
like
just animal.
We've been all over these kinds of questions lately.
Yeah. These like, are my favorite types of questions.
What would be
ever.
Like your demon from Golden Compass, okay. All that stuff.
Frax is an owl.
If I could turn into an animal, I'd be an owl.
Who was the peacock? Somebody was a peacock.
I like owls better, but ravens, it's a second close. I'd actually be an owl, then a cat, and then another raven.
It was Alex.
Alex
or
the
a
peacock.
Cat with wings.
Yeah. Alex, and wow, Matt Majacomo is a big bear.
What?
Is there really a cat with wings?
What?
Where?
Real?
Can
no.
you buy it?
Where?
After Photoshop?
Okay.
She saw it best week ever. Ever.
That there was a cat with wings.
Recently?
Aww.
All right, back to the question.
Wow.
John, sorry, what's yours?
What would I be? Something I could turn into?
Hey, your onomatous form.
Can it be a magical creature or like a regular animal?
Nope. Regular animal.
Regular animal, like any other animal. Just...
Darn it. I don't know why a cow just flashed in my head. That'd be the most boring one you could possibly be.
But
people
it makes
run up
so
and, like,
much sense.
You over.
And you're always eating.
No.
You kind of lope around.
No.
No.
That's the bell.
I want something that can fly.
Me too.
But I want something powerful that can fly.
A Pegasus.
Eagle.
Like a falcon or
a
like
hawk.
Eagle or a.
You're not a hawk.
I'm not a raven. No, ravens aren't as powerful.
You're
a pterodactyl.
Like
that's my choice.
A pterodactyl.
I'm going to be a pterodactyl.
Oh,
okay.
Sue.
I like
you,
it.
Sue's?
I would be an otter.
They're
my favorite animals.
Good answer.
I mean, I wanted that to be my Patronus, too, but everyone's like, no, it's got to be a badger. But
Patronus would be a badger.
Otters and penguins are my two favorite animals.
What,
I would
penguins?
Go,
yeah.
That's my Patronus.
I like otter. I'm otter.
See, my Patronus slash demon, which is what your friends, Philip Pullman says that your friends should decide, and they decided for me a lion, which I thought was very nice.
Rawr.
But I don't think that's what I'd turn into. I think I'm more of a cat creature, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I guess a lion's a cat, but you know what I mean. I don't think I'm that ferocious.
Yeah, I think you'd be a lioness. That'd be good. Is that too big?
So if I can get my animal form and my demon together.
Yeah.
Be awesome. Nice. Like, start a pride.
Yeah.
That's gross. I take it back.
Did you say yours, Frankie?
It'd be an owl.
An owl. Yeah.
Nice.
Or a finch. A little one.
Oh, finch.
I love finch. With like a bright colored belly. And like red.
Yeah. That makes sense for you. A lot of sense. I'd be Wandy Corn.
There you go.
No.
So you can time travel.
You're being constant.
All right. Who else has questions?
All right. We got a couple more minutes.
I feel like I have to explain my Harry Potter fascination with my friends and defend it. And I was wondering if the people in your life accept that or if they, you know, make it hard for you ever.
It's a very nice question. Yeah. This is fun because it all depends on, like, talking about your family, your friends, people who have known you for a while, people you just meet. Like recently, I moved to California, and so I've been meeting other people out there and people just casual relationships. And I said, "Yeah, I'm taking off for 2 weeks." Like, oh, really? What you doing? Like, oh, we're traveling for 2 weeks on the East Coast. And like, yeah, what you doing? They're like, oh, well, actually, we're kind of touring like bookstores and restaurants and stuff, talking about Harry Potter. They're like, really? That's interesting. And they just kind of give me a look, and I'm like, well, you know, if you give me like 5 minutes, I can explain it to you. But honestly, the people aren't worth my time because it's a real important thing to me. So it's like telling somebody, you know, what is like the most meaningful thing in your life and why, when somebody asks you, you know, really Harry Potter, and be like, well, you know, if I think you're worth it, maybe I'll sit down and explain it to you. But otherwise,
it's a very Slytherin attitude.
It is, because I mean, I could put it all on a T-shirt, but it would be like a nighttime jammy because it would go all the way down. My family has always been supportive of it. I mean, this is our probably fifth or sixth year working with Harry Potter related things. So I don't know. It's all different. I guess it depends on how big of a fan you are and how much of your life Harry Potter affects. But that's my perspective on it.
For me, like, I'm pretty candid with people. Like, if they ask where I'm going, I'll tell them. And they're like, Harry Potter? And I just explain it to them. And they're like, that's cool. I'm like, I really enjoy it. Like, and what's crazy about Harry Potter is, like, I had a friend in college who finally got me to read the books. And I've always really enjoyed owls, castles, scars, ties, magic. I mean, honestly, like all these little things, like on fairies and pixies, like draw that kind of stuff all the time. And then I had a friend, and she was like, have you ever read Harry Potter? I'm like, I just don't have the time. I want to watch the movies, blah, blah, blah. She's like, you kind of need to read these books. And then I read it, and I was like, oh, my gosh. And then I got involved with the fandom, and I was like, oh, my gosh. And so, like, it's just been a really awesome experience. So, like, with me, it's just kind of, if people ask, I'll tell them, but I'm not going to be like, hey, I have a good Harry Potter. Do you like Harry Potter? You know? I'm not going to shove it in their face, but if they ask me, I'm going to be like, yeah, I draw stuff. You can look at my blog. And it's like, there's Harry Potter stuff everywhere. I'm like, I know, I like it. So I really enjoy the experience, and you guys make it even more awesome. And so I'm more like.
I have a little boy, and he's very fascinated with it. So, he loves it. My regular family does not really pay too much. I mean, my brother will just, you know, brothers. And for me, my career, it's different because my job is pretty much solitary in the sense that I'm mostly freelance. So I don't have like that strong all the time, same people all the time. Although I have, and I have admitted this to Alex in the past, and I've been out covering events, and I will play Remus Lupin music at like when I'm supposed to be covering a political event. You know, just strange. Yeah. I spread that wizard love anytime I can, man. Okay. But so for me, I don't get a lot of feedback on it from out there because they just don't care. I mean, got deadlines to do, so. Okay. Sorry.
For me, in the beginning, I got a lot of hairy eyeball from my parents, from my sister, from hairy eyeball. You know, the
I saw like a hairy time. Heart. Oh,
the hairy eyeball.
You never heard that phrase? Hairy eyeball. Give you a hairy eyeball. It's like a. All right. You know, that's a hairy eyeball. And it's. Yeah, I got that a lot. I got that especially from this woman I used to work for, who you'll read about.
The one down the street.
The one down the street, actually. Yeah. But what I learned over the years from that is that it's a pretty good judge of a character of a person. If you tell them about it and they go, oh, that's cool, yeah. You do that.
Right.
Or if they go, Harry Potter, oh, really, you do that? Not once has somebody done that and ended up in my life in any way after. Not because, like, I didn't say, oh, well, I'm not going to talk to you now, but it's just worked out that way. Not once has anybody been intolerant of it, and I found them to be somebody I kind of want to ever see again. So, you know, it's kind of a good judge to have a quirk. With people in your life, because then if they love you for your quirks and despite your quirks, and even sometimes go and check out your quirks and maybe like them themselves, then those are people who like you for you, and that's, you know.
That's like what you mentioned earlier, too.
Exactly.
Earlier in the tour about, like, the the people, sports fans who paint their faces blue and stand out in the cold for right. 40 exactly. degrees. It's right. like, it's no different. Everyone has their things they like, and like right. I'm no better than them, they're no better than us. Right. It's just
I love doing that.
You're a nerd in this area, you're a nerd right. in sports. You're still a nerd, even though it's sports. Sorry.
Right. Whenever you get somebody who's kinda witchy about it, who's kinda like got the extra tude, you know,
right.
witchy ha ha the extra tude, you say, Well, okay, I was at Super Bowl and I saw you screaming your head off and throwing things. Right. Like what do you for a game that you have nothing to do with and probably only have money on. It's everybody has their own thing, but for some reason people look at fans in the traditional sense and think that that's any different, and that's right. it's bogus. It's ridiculous.
It's silly. Well, they usually have a majority, and I'd say people find security in numbers. And even though Harry Potter probably has more fans than any sports team combined, they just feel like they're on their own most of the time some of them aren't as lucky to know about meetups and right. conventions and things like that. So they just, imagine if there was no internet. There is no way to talk to other Harry Potter fans.
We should. I don't know.
Owls.
Buy out the tickets to some sports event and all show up in ties.
That'd be awesome.
We can do it. I'm sure we can do it.
Like, what the hell?
Yeah. Can I just say this too? We were just recently at Comic Con and we had a panel and we had a really pretty good crowd. But I was most struck by the fact that the people that I talked to were like, "Wow, it was great to finally see Potter here represented in that way." And a lot of people just don't go out there and sport their stuff all the time, but in that kind of environment, you could, but they were just really glad to see it. So I just think that you can find it out there.
Well, on that happy, touchy note, we want to say, first of all, thank you to the group that must not be named for having us here. We want to say that all the band.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. I guess we just put these down. No. I just put them down. Yeah.
He wants to shine his-